Blog Talk Radio.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the War Room. We got Dev, Kill, Jimmy, PJ, and B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
Give it to you how you want it in the 1 to 2 hour show. Then keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level. Bold with them topics, sort of like the Rebels. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five doing prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. From sports medicine to sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war ain't Kuwait. It's the war room, with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Yep. Greetings, football fans. It's Super Bowl Sunday. Welcome back for a special edition of your favorite show. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports for our third annual Super Bowl pregame tailgate. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm here live at our Super Bowl party roundtable with the generals, Jimmy Williams and B. Austin, and a whole host of our friends as we broadcast live from our log cabin atop the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. We got a great show for you today. Super Bowl 47 is upon us, and we'll provide some last-minute analysis, and we'll give our final game predictions. Join us in the JW Philly Realty chat room right now at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports to join the conversation. We also want you to call us directly throughout the show on the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline to give us your Super Bowl predictions. That number is 323-410-0012. The first caller that gets the winning score, well, the winner and the score exactly correct, will win a $25 gift card to their favorite restaurant. So call us at any of your pick during the show, and we'll go over the tape after the game and see who got it first. So shout out to all our radio and business partners, but let's get right into the rundown. What's going on, Jim? What's going on, B. Austin?
Yo, what's good? How you?
I'm ready for some football, yo.
Yeah, ready for this game, that's all.
I mean, you still got a little bit of time left, but you know what it is.
Yeah, they got to, you know, they got to hear us before anything go down.
True indeed. No, we gotta give them their opinion.
He's giving it out, huh?
Giving out the opinion. It's crazy considering how long, you know, these pregame shows last. They've been on since like yesterday, nonstop. But you know, we ain't gonna talk about the same old same old. You ready to jump right into it?
Let's do it.
All right. And by the way, this is Super Bowl 47 for those who can't read Roman numerals. And this coverage is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite show from anywhere, iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, Palm phone, your computer. There's no way you can't listen to it. That's the bottom line. At any rate,
Palm phone? You can listen to it from a Palm phone?
A Palm phone, yo. Just go to Stitcher.com/TheWarRoom, that's one word, and use the coupon code TheWarRoom to enter into a contest to win millions and millions of money.
Hey, yo, hey Jim.
What's good?
I heard a lot of stuff went down yesterday. A lot of awards were given out, Hall of Fame, voting, all that stuff, man.
Yeah, I got to see Chris Carter.
My man Chris Carter got in, yo.
Yeah, he acted very Trisvanny, but he definitely got in. You know, I know a lot of people were arguing about the Michael Strahan, Warren Sapp thing. Before we talk about the board, you want to talk about those awards?
Yeah, I'm going to run down the list of the Hall of Famers and then the awards that were given out yesterday. The 2013 Pro Football Hall of Fame class consists of Larry Allen, Chris Carter, Jonathan Ogden, Bill Parcells, Dave Robinson, Warren Sapp, and Curly Colt. So, again, you know, from the War Room, congratulations to the class of 2013. You know, we have our own Hall of Fame here, so some of y'all might not have gotten in, but, you know, you did
like Chris Carter.
Congratulations to Robert Griffin III. He won the NFL Rookie of the Year. Andrew Luck finished second. Russell Wilson finished third. We got Luke Kuechly, linebacker from Carolina. He got the Defensive Rookie of the Year. Bruce Arians, the interim head coach at Indy. He got the Coach of the Year. Are we leaving anybody else out who got named yesterday, or was that it?
No, that's pretty much
it. What am I talking about? MVP of the league, Adrian Peterson.
That's all day.
The original black man wins again.
Yeah. So congratulations to him. You got it, Jim.
Adrian, dear Amber Spray Peterson. So at any rate, man.
Cream in the clear, yo. Cream in the clear.
Let's jump right into the Super Bowl break, y'all. This is what I wanted to start off with. Before we get into scores and what's going to happen, let's talk about a positional impact comparison. Let's talk about each position on each team, player for player, and see who has the advantage. And we want to start with running back, which is Ray Rice versus Francis M.H. Gore. Who do you guys think has the advantage in that position?
If we're just going strictly on the skills of the running back, I would definitely say that Ray Rice is the more versatile of the two. With Ray Rice and his production on the Baltimore Ravens, it's basically a matter of how much he gets the ball, how many touches he gets, his bottom line. And they went through this year, and a big thing with the Baltimore Ravens was that they started to decrease the touches by Ray Rice, and a lot of people thought that's why they had that lull in the middle of the season where people started to, you know, be afraid that they were no longer Super Bowl contenders. It's a Super Bowl, man. It's time to give the ball to your best player.
Hey,
so.
Diddle, diddle.
Exactly. I think they should get a heavy dose of Ray Rice, especially so they can set up the play action to go deep down the field like they like to do. On the other side of the ball, you got Franklin Gore, he's just a workhorse, so he's going to get the ball in the traditional sense. He's going to get the ball in the read option. I would almost go push, but I think Ray Rice is a little bit more versatile because he's going to catch the ball a little more out of the backfield. So I'll say that Baltimore Ravens have a slight advantage at the running back position.
Before you even go, Austin, I want to throw something else out there so you can comment on this as well. Let's take into consideration the offensive line when talking about each running back. But I feel a little different because what I noticed is towards the end of the season, even when Ray Rice started getting the ball and they started winning, they worked in Pierce a little bit more. So it's like a change of pace. And he got a lot of carries, even in the playoffs. And he's very productive. He's been very productive. So in terms of Frank Gore, when I think about Frank Gore, I think about how nasty their offensive line is. And I'm tempted to give them the advantage at a running back just based upon that in itself. The Niners probably have the single best offensive line in all of football, to be honest with you.
Right.
Which is why I probably would lean towards Frank Gore, but it's still close either way. It's a toss-up, but just based upon that offensive line, I would get the advantage of the Niners.
That's another reason why I'm going the way I'm going, though, because even if the line isn't totally doing its thing on Baltimore side of the ball, Ray Rice has another dimension that he can give you. You know what I mean?
So, that's true. This is absolutely true.
Yeah. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't go first in this triumvirate, all the good points will be hit on. This is a tough one because individually, I think Frank Gore, his talents as a runner make him superior to Ray Rice. But in today's game, you're going to see Ray Rice get the ball out of the backfield as a pass catcher, as a receiver a little bit more. So I think that his impact on the game will not only be between the tackles, but also as a receiver. That being said, I'm still going. Jimmy touched on a great point. The Niners line, yo, they're like 340-pound behemoths in front of that dude. And they are not shy about running the ball. And I don't think they're going to get away from their bread and butter in the Super Bowl. So I'm actually going to go Frank Gore, more so because I don't think the Ravens are going to use Ray Rice the way that they should. It's almost as if they wait to use Ray Rice. They go a little bit away from their bread and butter with having Joe Flacco and featuring Joe Flacco going down the field. And then when ish hits the fan, then it's like, okay, we got to get the ball to Ray Rice.
Yeah,
I'm going to go Frank Gore. They're going to hand the ball to Frank Gore from Jump Street.
Let me ask you a question, though. Is he still their bread and butter? Because a lot of people say it was a paradigm shift in their offense this year because he basically didn't get the ball. Their bread and butter became Joe Flacco.
Well, I don't think that's based on his decline. I think that's based on Joe Flacco's advancement as a quarterback and Torrey Smith kind of coming to his own. Anquan Boldin letting people know that y'all must have forgot. And the rare appearance of Jacoby Jones stretching the field and that tight end. So there's a lot of versatility there. There's a lot of weapons. Steensman, yeah, my man, the tight end Steensman.
No, what I'm saying is, that's my point, though, that he did come into his own, so isn't he now the bread and butter?
I think they're trying to make him the bread and butter, but I can't say 1 year. 1 year's body of work versus Ray Rice being their bread and butter offensively for about 3 to 4 seasons is going to take that away. I think until you see a decline, or until I see a decline in Ray Rice's skill sets and his athleticism, I'm not inclined to go away from him being at least what should be their bread and butter.
But y'all know Ray Rice is kind of like a Where's Waldo type dude in the mold of a Brian Westbrook or something like that. So even back in those days when Donovan McNabb was the clear star of the team and what Andy was trying to make him, they still kind of live and died on whatever Brian Westbrook did. And I kind of look at Ray Rice in that same mold. Like, they still have to utilize this dude if they plan on winning the game. If they want to stretch the field and show the talents of a Joe Flacco, you know, they're going to need to feature Ray Rice, you know, in order to open that kind of stuff up. So
play action.
I just think he'll hold a much more, like, I think his role will be bigger than Frank Gore. Even if I agree with you from a pure running standpoint, Frank Gore is hard to touch, but I just think he's going to bring so much more to the game.
Right.
Cool. And you brought up a good point about him with the ability to play receiver. Not necessarily play receiver, but, I mean, didn't he lead the team to catch
one year? They can line him up everywhere in the formation. You know?
Didn't he lead the team to catch us 1 year, whether it was last year or the year before? One year, I think he lead the team to catch us.
Yeah, he did. There's been a time. It wasn't recent. It wasn't last year. But he had.
Cash in on Ray Rice.
Here's my next question to you, though. With that being said, when you look at the entire receiving core of the Ravens and Niners, who has the advantage in terms of receivers? I mean, I guess you have to include Ray Rice in that discussion, but, you know, when you look at both teams, because you talk about Randy Moore, you're talking about Vernon Davis, you're talking about Pitta, you know.
Now, let me ask you a qualifying question for that question. Does that take into account the mismatches created, or are we just looking at the receivers by themselves?
I guess you would have to look at both, because there's mismatches on both sides with Ray Rice having the ability he has. And I understand you're already thinking about Vernon Davis. That's exactly probably why you asked me that question. But let's keep it real. Pitt is the same way.
No.
I wouldn't say he's, you know, just as good. I'm talking about in terms of, you know, the way they use him in their offense. He's definitely been productive.
Well, here's my response to that, Jimmy, is Patrick Willis can run and stay with Pitta. There is no human in the NFL, save for maybe two folks, that can run and stay with Vernon Davis, not at linebacker or safety. You have to cover him speed-wise with a corner, and if you put a corner on Vernon, he's too small. Dude's 6'3 and 250. You just put the ball on.
So yeah, I mean, but at the end of the day, since Kaepernick's been in, they haven't been doing that. He's been, you know, he had a good game two weeks ago, but he hasn't been productive, to be honest.
Well, it's not whether you catch the ball, it's how you're accounted for. If I create a mismatch and I have to be covered with two people, whether I get the ball or not, I've already won the battle because someone else has opened up. They've got three guys essentially that demand a double team. Not saying that the Ravens don't either, because we get to them too, but the Niners, Randy Moss, believe it or not, still commands a double team on first and second down.
Yeah, I was about to ask you about that. I'm like, even at this point in his career, think people are sending
even at this age and stage of the game, they still roll coverage his way on first and second down, and then depending on down and distance, they roll that double to Crabtree on third down, because they go to Crabtree a lot on third. So you've got three guys that command a double team. Vernon Davis. There's no linebacker. The only linebackers that can really cover him are on his team.
That sounds good in theory, but here's the thing. If you watch their games, like I have watched them, I pretty much watched every game this season tonight because Vernon Davis is one of my fantasy players. He hasn't been doubled. He just hasn't been that productive. I mean, he's productive.
Prior to Kaepernick, or are you speaking after Kaepernick took the helm?
Actually, both. Because, I mean, consider this. This past season, he had about 41 catches. He had close to 550 yards and 5 touchdowns. I mean, you know, if you're comparing him, let's just say, to Pitta statistically, Pitta had more yards, more catches, more touchdowns. I mean, he's had a better season than Vernon Davis. I'm not saying he's a better player, and I get what you're saying about his attributes. But, I mean, it's one thing to have attributes, it's one thing to produce, and he hasn't been producing. And it was a decline a little bit in the beginning of the season with Alex Smith, but then by the time Kaepernick got in, he kind of, like, doesn't even look his way.
Well,
as a
defensive coordinator, are you going to let a 6'3", 250-pound target with track speed run by himself down the field, down the seam?
If I know that they haven't thrown to him in 6 games, yes. I mean, I don't care how tall you are, how fast you are, what your numbers look like. If they're not using you, you're pretty much a waste of that speed, that size, and that athleticism.
So you're just gonna let it. You would single Vernon.
That's what they've been doing. I mean, that's
it could be a case where you single up on him until he gives you a reason not to. You know, during the game, everybody can make adjustments. And that's what you're supposed to do.
Absolutely.
At halftime. So if he was to be burning you in the first half, and you think you need to double up on him after that, then you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Right. For me, I'm not even about people necessarily getting the ball, because I guess from my understanding of the game of football, if I have to double you or bracket you, even if you don't get the ball, that's one less person I got to worry about in other plays.
I totally get that, but like I'm saying,
but you might be creating another problem for yourself, doubling somebody who might not need to be doubled.
But that's right. What I'm saying. Whether he should be doubled in theory and whether he is being doubled are two different things. I understand what you're saying about his size, his speed, but it hasn't mattered, honestly. It just hasn't mattered. Now, with that being said, 2 weeks ago, he probably had his best game. And it was when it was needed against the Falcons. He had probably one of his best games because he burnt them. But up until then, I mean, he really wasn't getting the ball. There were games, week 15 and 14 combined, he had about 3 catches. He wasn't doubled the entire game. And, you know, he pretty much did nothing. He's running downfield. Now, with that being said, Crabtree has stepped up. He seems to be his favorite target in terms of Kaepernick. But, again,
Crabtree definitely is. Randy gets shots. They take shots to Randy. Not necessarily successful shots, but he's not scared to wing it down the field.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of shocking. I would think that they would go to try to incorporate Randy more than they do. But, you know, let's see if they do that today.
I don't know. In my opinion, I think the receiving corps, I think that may be another advantage I may have to give the Baltimore man. Anquan Boldin is the best possession receiver in the football game, in my opinion. If you need a big catch, you know what I'm saying, he's the one that you're going to try to go to. And if you go to him, most likely he's going to make that catch for you. As far as stretching the field goes, of course, you know they like to take shots to Torrey Smith. For some reason, it seems like dude is always running wide open. And even if he's not, like, they have such a rapport. It seems like Flacco's just dropping it right where it needs to be dropped lots of times.
Yes.
You mentioned it earlier. Once in a while, they're going to try to go downfield to Jacoby Jones. But I don't even have to mention him in this whole scenario. I mean, because you still have Dennis Pitta. So the talent is basically there on both sides of the ball, maybe even more so on the 49ers side of the ball. But
I would argue that, too. I agree with you, but I would argue that, too.
I'm just thinking of what core I'm going to trust a little bit more in today's game.
I'm going to trust Baltimore based on the fact they have more time together and Joe Flacco has more experience being more of a downfield passer. That's not really
I mean,
taking
and he has more
Niners
experience
for.
With his receivers than Kaepernick.
Right.
Yeah.
Is Crab? Would you consider Crabtree a possession receiver?
I wouldn't.
Mm.
At this point, I consider Randy Moss a possession receiver.
Well, nah,
they don't throw
the ball to Randy unless it's 20 yards or more.
That's not true. Again, that's not true.
As
he only had 20 something catches this entire season.
I think because of the name, like his name holds a lot of allure, and I think a lot of people are counting Randy Moss as if this is the Randy Moss of 5 years ago.
It's not.
He has the potential and the skills to break out and be that guy, but I don't think you go into this game as a player, a coach, or analyst like us, like just assuming that Randy Moss is going to play a big game. I mean, play a big part in this game because he has it all season.
Not at all.
I think Randy Moss is a decoy. I think that they run nine routes with Moss to take two people away, understanding that they're only going to take two or three shots a game down the field to him. If he catches it, cool. If he doesn't, so what? I just want you to respect the route. I just want you to respect the route.
But they don't take that many shots is what I'm saying. That's not true. I mean, in terms of catches, he only has one catch over 50 yards or more.
I'm not talking about catches.
No. I'm talking about even attempts. They don't even have attempts in terms of, like, head and stretching the field. He's not even really using their offense, to be honest with you. The reason I call him a possession receiver is because over 90% of his possessions are underneath, you know, five-yard hitches, button hooks. That's what he runs at this point. He's a possession receiver. He's not Randy Moss. He's a possession receiver. I mean, out of his 28 catches, 25 of them were like, you know, like 15 yards or less. He's no longer a deep threat. I mean, at least he hasn't been. With that being said, this would be a great time to break it out if that's part of what you know.
And I think he may be a little more of one than he was earlier in the season, strictly because of the quarterback change. Now, we do know Colin Kaepernick is going to go down the field a little more than Alex Smith did, so he does become more of a threat. I'm just not going to bank on the fact that, okay, they got Randy Moss. Like, any other year, like, you know, back a few years ago and any time before that, if Randy Moss is on the receiving core, I'm giving them the advantage just because of him. He could be playing with me on the other side. But
Randy Moss used to average about 30 yards per reception, and like now it's about half of that. So, I mean, he only scored three touchdowns. I mean, didn't he score like 20-something touchdowns? So he's a shell of himself. Not saying he doesn't have skills, but within this offense, that's not his job. I would actually go with that as well.
Man, but according to him, he's the GOAT.
This is true. But listen up to me. I'm going with you. I'm taking the Ravens, and one of it is because of the continuity. I think that Torrey Smith is they have the traditional possession receiver, deep threat, and they also have, like, another guy who's just a burner. And Dennis Pitta is, like, probably one of the best tight ends in the game of this season. I'm not saying his body of work or even his skill set. This season, statistically, there's not too many tight ends that have better numbers. And that includes some of the guys who we probably consider, like a Vernon Davis, who's probably the best in the game. But it all depends upon how you're being used. He's being used in an offensive target. He's producing, you know, very well. He scored more touchdowns than a lot of wide receivers in the league. I mean, he even has two this postseason. You know what I mean? So, for me, I'm taking the Ravens wide receiving core. And because, again, you also have to factor in Ray Rice when you talk about their receivers.
Yeah, you have to add him into the mix.
You know, so I got Ravens there. You said you got Ravens. Awesome. You said you got the Ravens as well?
Yeah, I got the two Super Bowl teams who are very similar. So, none of this is like...
I'm about to make a checklist out and see who everybody got on each position. So you talk about
because on the Niners side, you still got to worry about, like you said, Vernon Davis, Delanie Walker, Crabtree, Moss. But I'd go Ravens with that, especially since they're more of a traditional passing team in the first place. So.
Yeah, this is true, but why do I feel like with all that being said about Randy and his lack of production, he's going to try to have a big game with it? I don't know why. I just feel like
he might. I mean, because he doesn't want to just look like he hopped on the coattails of a Super Bowl team. So if he was able to do something in the bowl, you know how people, one game would convince everybody that, you know, his season wasn't so minimal.
Yeah,
that's all it takes.
This is true. All right, so Austin, let's keep a track of this. So in terms of the running game, Dev got Niners. Me and Austin got Dev has Ravens. Me and Austin got Niners. In terms of the receiving core,
we all go.
Okay, it's cool.
Yeah, we all got the Ravens.
All right, so let's talk about we got a call. Is it a call on the line? Well, before we get to that call, what do you have to screen that down?
You bring up another. Let me refresh because I don't even see it. So go ahead, keep going. I'll refresh to see if I can catch that.
Okay. All right. Cool. What I'm saying is, let's talk about the secondary though. Since we just talked about the receiving core, let's talk about the guys who guard them.
I'll let Austin rock on that anyway.
The Ravens secondary versus the 49ers secondary. Austin, you're the guy who loves defensive backs and how they play the game. So break this down for us.
The Ravens, we'll start there, and let's work inside out. Obviously, the Ravens have what I would consider at least one of the top five safety tandems with future Hall of Famer Ed Reed and Bernard Pollard kind of coming on and finding his niche. What they do is they bring Bernard Pollard up, play him in the box on first downs or running downs, slot him back a little bit further on traditional passing downs, and let him look at the slot man or look at the tight end. Ed Reed is a freelancer. He's going to go wherever he wants to go, typically playing deep third and kind of just breaking on where the ball is going. Their corners, they're very athletic, very underrated, and virtual unknowns in terms of name. Their best corner is actually out for the season with an ACL. And so what they're left with is two guys who play a lot of man. They play a lot of press. They're not scared to be physical. They jam you on the line. I like them. I like them a lot. I like them
901.
Because they're unknown, and they're still not scared. You know, they're here.
Yeah, yeah, we hear you.
I thought I was in the jail. I don't know what's going on.
No, that's because you put the host in. You're not the host, remember?
Ah, hello.
901.
No. I'm going to go back. I forgot about that.
Hello.
Hey, you're on the line. What's going on?
You're on the line.
Dev, B. Austin, what's up? This is Jabari. What's going on, fellas?
What's going on, Jabari?
Hey, nothing, man. Hey, nothing.
You good, brother?
What up?
Yeah, man. My score for the game, man, I hear y'all call it Ravens. I think the Ravens are going to win, personally.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go against the grain, and I'm going to say Niners 17, Ravens 13.
All right, Niners 17, 13. All right, we got you. We got you on tape, so if you get that score and the winner correct, you know, we're going to be sending you a $25 gift card to your favorite restaurant. So make sure, you know, if that score come up, make sure you get back in contact with us and hold us to that.
Oh, okay, I got you, man.
Absolutely.
The reason I say that, though, is because, as you guys probably well know, Flacco, you know, he's a great quarterback, has a big arm and everything, but he has some great games and he has some stinkers.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's like which Flacco's going to show up. You know, I'm thinking that the good Flacco's going to show up, but you know, it is a Super Bowl. So.
He better. Biggest game of his life. He got a contract on the line. He better show up.
Yeah, he better. If he knows
what's
good for.
All right, man. Thanks for your call. You know, we only go for an hour today, so we got like 30 more minutes. But make sure you call back next on Thursday, man, because we still got to talk to you about your Grizzlies, man.
For sure.
All
right, I'm
going to
get up with
you,
boy.
All right, man.
All right,
man. So,
yeah. All right, we got
the corners, your Baltimore corners, you got Corey Graham and Kerry Williams. Now, Ladarius Webb would normally be their starter, but he's out with an ACL. Corey Graham is the young gun, and Kerry Williams is sort of an NFL journeyman, but he's kind of come into his own this season. They play well as a tandem. They're decent size, not scared to jam at the line. They run well. I like them. Decent set of corners. Not great, but very good. Very good. And then you've got Jimmy Smith, who was their first-round draft pick about two seasons ago. He's their nickel. other side of the ball, the Niners, starting inside, one of my personal favorites right now, Deshaun Goldston, plays somewhere in between Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu. Somewhere in between. If you can imagine that, he will lay the wood like no other, but he also is very good in coverage and playing the deep third. And then you've got Dante Whitner. Now, Dante, at this stage of his career, is a little bit of a liability in coverage, but will still come up and hit you. Will still come up and hit you pretty hard. Their corners, Deb, your boy Carlos. Carlos,
my boy.
Your boy Carlos. Yo, he's balling. He's balling. I'm not going to take anything away from him. He is.
I think he's a good cover guy. I just don't expect him to catch any interceptions because his hands are made of stone. But he'll bat some down. He'll cover you pretty well.
Yeah, I'm going to go
secondary. I'm going to go 49ers. I mean, you can keep giving your breakdown of your analysis. I don't have much to say on that front, but I'm going to give the advantage to the 49ers on that. But that's another slight one because I still think that the brains lie in the Baltimore secondary just because Ed Reed takes a lot of that, you know what I'm saying? And it's hard to go against a secondary that has him in it, but he is getting up there in age, so I'll go with the 49ers secondary.
I'll be very brief. I was actually all ready to go to the 49ers in terms of secondary, but the reason I'm going with the Ravens is because of one man, and that's the Looper, Pollard. He's out there closing loops and sending people to the hospital and adding more plaintiffs next lawsuit.
He's getting his gold pack. He's closing his loop.
Yeah, he's closing cat's loops. And he's also, adding to the plaintiffs list in the next lawsuit against the league. So I think he's going to, catch wreck out there, and he's going to change the complexion of the game. But if you think about last game, his hit changed the game.
Yeah, it has different layers for me, Jim. Like I said, I think the brains and more of the intimidation factor may go on the side of Baltimore as far as secondaries go. But, them young guns.
When I remember watching them, it's a different team now, but it wasn't a couple weeks ago when San Fran played Seattle. Seattle secondary started, trying to lay the wood, so to speak, and defending passes and kind of changed the whole intimidation factor. And that's my whole point with this game. I think that San Fran can be intimidating. They're bullies that don't like for somebody to smack back. I think he's going to go out there with the intention of taking a heart.
The whole problem with Pollard is really the same problem you have with Dante Whitner. Now, Pollard is a little bit more fleet of foot, a little bit more athletic just based on age. But when he gets stuck in coverage, it's not pretty. He's not the guy you want covering that slot man or a tight end like Vernon. But he will knock snot bubbles. He's one of those dudes that hits the thing that he envisions being behind you. So whatever it is that he envisions behind you, he's trying to hit that when he hits you.
Dev, we got some more people already in there trying to talk to us. So take care of that. And awesome.
We got one.
You say?
Okay, we got one if you want to go to the first caller.
Absolutely.
We sort of pooped on Terrell Brown, who's the other starting corner. He's the right corner for San Fran, and rightfully so because he gets browned on quite a bit.
All right, no doubt. Let's go to Mike. Let's go to Mike and see what's up with Mike.
Get his pick.
MJ, what's good?
Yeah, what's up, fellas? What's up?
What's
calling in to get my Super Bowl prediction in.
Yeah. Who you got?
What's up,
and being as though it's Black History Month, I kind of want a black quarterback to win. but then what I'm saying, he light skinned, so if he wins, all light skinned brothers will try to make a comeback. So I gotta go with my man Ray. I'm hoping to.
What's your score, though? What's your prediction of your score?
I don't think it's going to be high scoring. 21-17, Baltimore.
21-17, Baltimore?
Yeah, take Baltimore, yeah.
What's your main
Ray and the roids or whatever they call it. Is it
deer antler spray, man?
Deer antler spray?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
that's brave, man. Yeah, so you got 21. You got 21-17 Baltimore. That's what's up. So what's your main? What's your main reason in terms of the game? Who's your MVP?
Go with Ray Lewis still, man. I hate Flacco. So it's hard for me to him to win. I can't stand Flacco. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Ray Lewis. Going
That's
out on top, winning it, and getting the MVP. Like you're gonna get like 15 tackles and a couple forced fumbles, I think.
That's for sure. You have to get the prediction on air, man.
I don't know if Kaepernick is gonna be ready to play after Ray laid a wood on him. And I guess
it's funny because normally we would we'd let you have it for going with the cliche pick of Ray Lewis as the MVP, but he does lead the postseason in tackles. The entire NFL, he's got like 60 tackles.
And I guess
he's averaging like 15 a game.
Yeah, man. All right, well, Mike, man, thanks for the call. We got a couple more calls to get in, man. But get you on the air and get your prediction. But thanks.
Yep. No doubt.
All right, take it easy.
All right,
yo.
Get easy, man.
All right, we got another call. Let's jump right into it and get their prediction.
Absolutely.
I'm muted.
Nah. What's going on?
Live in the war room.
What's going
AKA
on?
AKA Gordon's. What's up, Gordon's?
Nothing. Gordon.
What's going on?
Not much, man. Not much.
Who you got? Who you got and why, man?
Oh, man. I don't know, man. This is the first Super Bowl I had no interest in. Johnny storyline threw it for me.
I was waiting for you to say something like that. You're just a hater, man.
Hater.
I'm not, man. That's a
hater
good game.
Now.
I've been playing my brother Madden Super Bowls like the last 20 years. It does nothing for me.
I think these two teams are like a different versions of each other. I think the Ravens are like an older version of the Niners.
Yeah.
You know? You don't like the brother, you don't like the hardball?
Nah, they don't do it for me.
At least you keep like Ray Beyonce Ray going out and Ed Reed maybe getting I'm tired of seeing grown men cry. I'm tired of seeing grown men cry. You know?
So you're more excited about the Giants and the Patriots though?
Yeah, because Brady. He's Brady in name, you know. These dudes. Kaepernick, Falco,
What's your prediction, though? Who you got?
I'm going to Ravens. I think, you know, Falcons are playing good all postseason. And, you know, that whole Ray Lewis, that's what my bread. Garbage.
Oh, what's your score, though?
Let's go 27-10.
Man, they go up there.
27-10.
The bright light's too big for capacity. He ain't ready. Kyle not ready yet.
Yo, who's your MVP?
MVP, I'm going. They'll give it to Ray Lewis regardless. He had 1 of 15 tackles. He gets it. So I'm going to go Ray Lewis.
Yo, you are a complete hater, yo. But it's all good, though.
Game, man,
anyway,
gave us a
there
shot.
Is no hatred
nobody.
Like my room.
But you still got to play the game, Sal. We knew that.
But all right, bro. You rest your show, man.
All
right,
man.
All right.
Thanks for your call, yo.
No problem.
And I was calling them boys all kind of stuff that wasn't their name.
Yo, who is Falco?
Falco, mm-hmm. You know, what's the other one? Anyway, man.
Well, let's talk about them real quick so we can go to the keys of the game. So Flacco and and Kaepernick. Woody, because you know, I've been screening calls. You didn't give your advantages in that position.
Yo, I told you, in terms of line of scrimmage, I think that the Niners may have that in terms of line of scrimmage. If we're talking about linebacker Ray Lewis versus Patrick Willis, I'm going to say Patrick Willis just because of age and athleticism at this point. But Ray Lewis,
I'm gonna go Patrick Willis too on that, and his partner Navarro Bowman. Like I think they definitely have the better core, even if it's just a Ray Lewis Patrick Willis thing. Patrick is the younger version of Ray Lewis. He's gonna go crazy in this game.
All right, so now we're down to quarterback.
No weapon.
Quarterback. Who got the best quarterback?
Go ahead, Austin. You got it. Quarterback.
Ooh. Who has the better quarterback? I'm going to go Flacco.
Who has the advantage in this game?
What is the advantage? I want to say better because, you know.
You know, it's funny, man, because the reason that Kaepernick was able to ball out against Green Bay was because Green Bay plays man. And when you play man and you run deep routes, your DBs and your linebackers turn their back. You turn your back on somebody like Colin Kaepernick, he just squirts out, pause. And the Ravens play a lot of man. They play a lot of man. They probably watched a lot of tape on the Niners, and they're aware of that. I'm talking here.
Dang.
I'm going to say Kaepernick.
Okay. I mean it's not difficult to put him there. He brings another dimension to the game that Flacco's not going to bring to you. I just really think Flacco has something to prove. Like Jimmy talked about on Thursday's show, he's up for that contract. You win this game, then he can go to the table and get Baltimore to do whatever he wants.
Yeah, before I even go into my pick for quarterback, we got another call and I want to get a prediction. So I'm going to jump right into it and get their prediction. So we got the homie Neef on the line. Neef, what's good?
Yeah, what's up, brother?
Neef, what's good?
So
what's your
up?
Prediction for the game? Like, give us your prediction in terms of who's going to win, what's the score, who's the MVP?
Yeah, I like Baltimore 27-23.
Who's your MVP?
MVP, I'm going to go with Flacco, man. I think he's going to step up and get it done.
Okay. Awesome. What's your main reason for picking them as the winner of the game?
I just think they hungry, man. You know, San Fran, they young. They can get back here. But Baltimore, man, you know, they got a lot of veterans, you know, trying to go out on top. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, no doubt.
Reed, I don't know if Ed Reed was on that first team.
He wasn't.
Yeah, so you know he hungry. He about to retire in a couple years. So you know Ray want to go out on top. So
that's a good point because most people don't realize that he wasn't on that team. So he doesn't have a ring.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying on Thursday, Jimmy. I think we talk about Ray Lewis going out on top. I think if anybody deserves it the most, it's probably Ed Reed. Top safety in the league for the past decade. You know, if we're going to use the word, throw the word deserve around, I think Ed Reed deserves to go out, you know.
Yeah, and most people don't know that, though. They assume that he was on that team, so that was a great point you brought up, Neef. But, we only got a couple minutes left, but thanks for the call. We want to get your prediction, and if you get it right, then we're giving our prize pack for somebody who gets it right.
Yeah, $25 gift card to, you know, favorite restaurant.
If you hit the score in the nose with the right pick, you know, we'll get with you.
All right, where y'all fellas watching the game at?
Man, we on a retreat. We're in Virginia right now. At least me and Dev are. We down in Virginia right now having a little Super Bowl party in the cabin. So
yeah,
we're
broadcasting live from the mountains, man. The log cabin.
Yeah, we chill.
Y'all enjoy it out there. Y'all be safe, man.
All right, take it easy, homie.
Thanks, Nick.
I'm kind of with Neef, man. I kind of think that Joe Flacco is going to have a big game, and, you know, he's going to show out. So I'm going to give them the advantage there, even though Kaepernick, you know, he has a lot of machinery, so to speak, to bring to this game. But I think Baltimore is the type of team they're going to prepare. I'm not saying they're going to shut him down, but they're not going to let him run wild to where he will become the advantage in the game.
Listen, I think Flacco is going to win MVP. I think Flacco is going to go crazy. I think they have the advantage. My man's playing for possibly $20 million.
Flacco.
That alone, they kind of chicken that he got on the table. You got to play your best ball.
Yeah, you mess up here, man.
Yeah, you mess up
a lot.
You're
messing your money up.
Absolutely. So, yeah, that's the quarterback. Also, you brought up a point that we weren't even going to talk about.
A couple seconds
talking about this because it could be the deciding factor. That is special teams. Dead.
Right.
What's your opinion of that? Because always in the Super Bowl, it's like very important.
Yo, this is crazy. I mean, you have a lifetime reliable kicker on the side of San Francisco who's playing the worst football of his life. Both teams have, you know, people returning punts and kickoffs that could take it to the house at any minute. That's the thing. It's crazy for me because Akers is playing bad. On the other side, the Ravens have a young kicker who's played great, but he's still young playing in a big game. This is hard, but I think I'm going to give the Ravens that advantage as well, man. I think Tucker kicking indoors, you know, he's missed like 2 field goals all year. I'll go Ravens on that. Jacoby Jones might be due to do something a little more than what Tech did might do.
Austin, what's your take on it, Austin?
I'm thinking it's clearly far and away the Ravens. They pay attention to special teams. Not to say that, you know, not to say that the Niners don't, but it's one of their things. Jacoby Jones, as poor of a wide receiver as he is, that's how good a return man he is. He's quietly become one of the league's top five, in my opinion. Versatile return man because he returns punts and kicks. Their kicker, as Dev said, for a rookie, is very dependable, it seems. They've got they hit with attitude on coverage. I like the Ravens. I like the Ravens.
Here's the thing. I'm kind of up in the air. I'm still actually thinking about it to say all this, but because I definitely agree that Akers has been struggling. He has a better kicker in terms of Baltimore. But one thing Baltimore struggled with toward the end of the season, even in the playoffs, is their kick coverage. I mean, Denver ran back two kicks on them. Patriots got a ton of yards in the kick game. And they actually almost ran one back as well. So their kick coverage has been struggling, which is funny considering their coach, you know, made his name a special team. But
And for one game, Jim, I think that kind of helps them, though, because they know exactly where their weaknesses have been lately.
Absolutely.
So I can't see them after playing the way they did against Denver and the way they've been playing. I can't see them coming to the Super Bowl and not making the adjustment and not being ready.
That was my next point. And you know their coach. The coach made his name as one of the best special teams coaches in the league, which is how he became a head coach. So I think they will make adjustments. And because Akers was struggling, he used to be one of the most dependable kickers. I would give Baltimore the advantage of special teams as well.
But look, everybody, real quick, check out our website at warroomsports.com to call in and speak with us right now and give your Super Bowl picks for our Super Bowl giveaway. Dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you already listen from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Y'all got about 10 more minutes to do that, so call in, give your pick, give the score, give your MVP. You don't really need the MVP to win the contest, so if you get that wrong, we'll still throw, you know, it's all good. But you got about 10 more minutes to do that. Fellas, real quick, this is just, you know, they've been having fun with this all week. And I saw, like, a few days ago on PTI with Wilbon and Kornheiser, over under, the number was 8, is the amount of times that CBS will show the Harbaugh parents during the game. Y'all going over or under on 8 being the amount of times?
Under.
Under? I think it'll be over, and I think it won't even be close. Every dramatic thing that happens in this game, they're going to go and see what the parents' reaction is to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going far over 8. But Jimmy, what do you think?
Funny thing is,
we're talking before, not before the game, after the game. We know they're going to go to him a lot then. But
I think 8's about 2.25. That's a good number. But if I had to choose between over and under, I would say we're probably about 10, 12.
All right, well, we'll see where they go with that. But, all right, let's do some quick keys to the game, and then we'll give our final predictions. We gave them on Thursday, so we'll make sure everybody, you know, has them locked and loaded and ready for game time. B. Austin, what do you think the keys? Let's start with Baltimore. What are the keys to the game for Baltimore? And, you know, Jimmy, just jump in here and just talk about it.
Utilizing the mismatches, staying committed to Ray Rice offensively, utilizing mismatches offensively. I think, you know, once you get, as with all teams, once you get past that that first and second corner, for most teams, you've got a mismatch. And in this case, Terrell Brown and the guy that plays the nickel for San Fran are certainly not in Carlos Rogers' league. So I think you can create and exploit some mismatches there. And commit to running.
I think it'll be very important for Baltimore to strike first, to strike early, and try to play. I mean, everybody wants to play with a lead, so it's not like rocket science. But some teams, I think it's just better for them to do than not. I think Baltimore has to play with a lead in order to win this game.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I mean, because you know how they go. You know, I think they'll try to go down the field early to Torrey Smith to make a statement. If they can get the lead, then what Beyonce said about utilizing Ray Rice will become that much easier. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You unleash him. Hey, biddle. Ray Rice up to middle. So they have to get out to an early lead.
All right, for me, it's very simple. I agree with the getting out early, but I think it's to get physical with him very early. So I know I've been talking about this like for the last 2 weeks, but to me, that's the key to the game. Baltimore needs to make a very physical play, smack him in the mouth, do something to like let them know, like, yo, you're not going to bully us like you bully everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Once that happens, I think that can change the game. Because, I mean, just looking back at the entire season, that's how the Niners got in trouble. When they got in front and they, you know, able to make huge hits early in the game, they walked over teams. Somebody smacked them back at the close game. So I think not only scoring early, but maybe a nice good hit by Pollard early in the game, or, you know, Ray Lewis tackles his quarterback and does a dance. Just something.
I think that goes both ways, Jim. Like, because both of these teams are physical. So the team that gets poked is the team that's going to lose the game.
You know what? You're not going to be punking me when we get 40. I'm letting you know that right now.
Hey, the Ravens got more players close to 40, so maybe they're not going to get punked. You ain't going to be punking me when we're 40.
This is true, man. I think that's what it's all about, man. You know, it's just one of the things, man. And that's my key, my biggest key. Be the
physicality
of the game. That's
what I said, the word physicality. A few minutes left. Be off the keys to the game on the San Francisco side. You know, offensively and defensively, we don't have that much time, so we got to make everything.
Run the ball. Run the ball, stay committed to the run, and exploit the middle of the field, because you'll notice when you talk linebackers and you go outside of Ray Lewis, you know, McClain is injured. The replacements there—they're not bad. They're not bad at all. But I think they can create some mismatches in the run game as well as passing in the middle of the field, and that will open up the outsides.
But you know, I also saying that, like, at this point in Ray Lewis's career, I'm trying to get him on. I'm trying to get Vernon Davis singled up on him.
But the problem there is that Ray plays the middle, so you're going to have most likely the strong side or the weak side covering Vern. You're not going to see Ray Lewis end up on the tight end.
I'm going to do something. I'm going to throw him in motion and make him go across the middle as much as I can. I'm going to do something to try to create those mismatches, to try to get, you know, older players like Ray Lewis guarding some of my faster, younger players. So,
right.
Yeah, because Delaney Walker's a threat too, though. So if they go they're going to have to pay attention to all of these guys. Ray Lewis will have to guard
Delaney
somebody.
Walker is a starter on any other team, dog. That's a great. That's a mismatch. That might be the biggest mismatch.
If you go double tight and you have a running back do running patterns out of the backfield.
Ray got
to
take
everybody
one.
Everybody has to take. They have to take somebody. So I'm trying to.
Yeah, Ray got to take one of them.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the old head running. I mean, if this was 2000, there'd be no days because they tried that and he got interceptions in the bowl, got the MVP. But I try that now.
Okay, cool. So, for me, the Niners would be to get up early and get a nice lead. I think if they, get a two touchdown lead or something.
But the Niners, they need their rookie quarterback to play. I mean, he's not a rookie, but
he's the X factor.
As far as his, he's the X factor. He's young. He may as well be a rookie. So they need their young quarterback to age a couple of years before 6:30, because he has to play smart in order for this team to keep pace. I kind of think like our brother Brandon Pemberton from Sports Press Radio. You know, he wrote a. Well, actually, he left us a message. We could play his prediction on the air, but I agree with him in thinking that, Kaepernick has pretty much played mistake-free football besides the one early mistake he made against Green Bay. This is a big-stage young quarterback. He claims to not feel the pressure. I think this might be the game where he makes that critical mistake.
Before we move forward, because we got that much time left, let's get Brandon's prediction. Let me start that now so they can hear what Brandon has to say.
All right.
Yo, what's good, man? It's your boy Brandon Pemberton, a.k.a. Brandon on Sports on Twitter, a.k.a. King Bass Fisherman, man. One half of the duo from Sports Trap Radio. You can listen to us every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on ueradiolive.com. This is my Super Bowl prediction. Shout out to my homies at War Room Sports too, man. They doing great things, and they part of the reason why I'm back and I've been doing the stuff I've been doing the past couple years. This is my Super Bowl prediction. I think it's going to be a close game. It usually, in big games like this, it's going to come down to quarterback play and whoever wins the turnover battle and special teams, little stuff like that. But the quarterback position is big. Colin Kaepernick, 9 starts and playing lights out. Sooner or later, I think he might have a bad game. Is it going to be this game? I'm not sure, but I think he's going to make a critical turnover at some point in the game. It's going to change the game. Also, David Akers is their kicker. He broke an NFL record for the most missed field goals in the season. Joe Flacco's playing lights out. The Ravens' defense, back healthy, playing better than they have been playing. My selection is the Ravens to win a close one. I'm going to say the Ravens win 23-20 in a close game. Let Ray Lewis go off and retire on the sunset and go ahead and beat T.D. Jakes or Donnie McClurkin or whoever he want to be. But that's my Super Bowl prediction straight from Brandon on Sports. Shout out to War Room Sports, man.
No, this is not good looking out, Brandon.
T.D. Jakes.
T.D. Jakes.
All right, give us your prediction.
Oh, okay. Who
will
go first?
Go ahead, be awesome. My Super Bowl pick, my winner.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm going to go to Ravens. Cool. Ravens over the Niners, 27-23.
All right.
All right, I got Ravens over the Niners, 27-21.
Well, I guess it's all the way across the board that we all think the Ravens are going to score 27 points. Because I got the Ravens over the 49ers, 27-24, Joe Flacco being the MVP. Because, like Jimmy said, he got about 20 M's on the table. You playing for 20 M's, Kaepernick ain't playing for that. He's still under that rookie scale, so he can't even play for that. So, 24 Ravens.
Like I got y'all with the prices right, John. I got the 21. You know what I mean? Anyway.
I got 23 because I think my man Kruger is going to get a safety.
Hey, Jim, my bid is $1.
Listen,
my bid is $1.
I just got hit up on Twitter by the homie Reese. He said it's not a good sign for the Ravens just because Ray Lewis isn't doing his dance, man.
Yeah. Really interesting, man. I can't see. He better do his club dance, praise dance, whatever that is.
Yeah,
but,
make it ring.
Chicken dance.
Till Thursday.
Thanks for joining us for our third annual Super Bowl pregame tailgate. Shout out to everybody. People in the chat room, both on Facebook and Twitter, send us messages, and those who called in to give us their picks. Make sure to tune in this Thursday for our regular show. We'll recap the Super Bowl and every other sports story of the week. Till then, enjoy the game. We'll see you right back on Thursday. Catch our conversations online. And remember, don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. I'll see you chumps on top.
Super Bowl!
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.